Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. Today is October the 18th in the year 2020, and my name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist. Welcome to my show. I also own Survival Enterprises. You can find that business at SE1, Samuel Edwards, the numeral 1.us, or survivalenterprises.com. You can reach us at any time at 800-753-1981, or the straight number, which would be 310-295-9686. I keep forgetting that number. Anyway, at least you know one way to listen to me. And if you want to know all the different ways, you go to armchairsurvivalist.com. And you will see, just scroll down, any page there. Scroll down all the way, and you'll see, coincidentally, in red, ways to listen. And I'm on every podcast venue you can imagine. Stitcher, Anchor, Podbeam, iHeartRadio, Pandora Radio, Amazon Talking Weird Things. I'm on YouTube. I'm on satellite. And it tells you all the different ways that you can listen. You can listen to my chat room. Just click on the link. You can just listen, or you can log in and communicate with anybody who happens to be there. You can listen on your phone. This is not a toll-free number. It's area code 641-741-0371. So it's 641-741-0371. Now, if you missed the show, by, you know, a couple hours or a day or something like that, at the top of the page, you will see, listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click here. Do that, and you'll hear the most recent show. And you'll hear it for the whole week until the new show. Or you go to the left-hand side of the page, you click on the little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. And that'll take you to a page. I'm trying to go there right now. That'll take you to a page that shows you all my past shows for the current year only. And I'm looking at that right now. You know, it's not too bad. I only had 4 replays this whole year so far. And they're all the shows are there, and you can click on it and listen to it or download it or what have you. Now, on the left-hand side of my page also, you'll see the links, home, chat room, show notes, Survival Enterprises. If you click on show notes, that'll take you to a page that lists all my shows for the current year chronologically, and it gives you a little clue of what the show is about. Like July 5th was cast iron and revereware. July 12th was storing foods. July 19th was internet security and safety. Okay? Any of those that you want to find out about, you click on that date, and it will take you to the page that lists all of this, everything I talked about. I don't just pull stuff out of the hat. I want you to know what I know. So you can go to that page, like in Food and Health Department. You can see all the links there that I talked about. Democrat governors have killed over 25,000 in nursing homes. So that's the health department. There's different things, you know. And I have this running list. I have this under Trump. I have different categories. I have economy, food and health, the liberal psychosis, government threat, and Trump. Under Trump, I have a link there. It's a running list of his accomplishments. And this isn't a BS list. This is the one that mainstream media doesn't want you to see in any way, shape, or form. So that's there. Anytime you want, you can go there and see the exact things that Trump has done. And you can see the source and the proof. So there's no question about reality here, except maybe sometimes I'm not here in this reality. Anyway, welcome to the show. So about the company, if I have any news or anything about Survival Enterprises, I always spew it out before I get into the show, and I've nothing special here. Now, I do have one thing. I haven't told anybody that I'm selling Trump hats and all the different Trump flags. I have Trumpageddon, where he's standing on a tank holding a Barrett 50 caliber. I have the Gadsden flag. I have the Blue Line flag. I have a bunch of different flags here. Okay, and I also have a bunch of hats, Trump hats. I like the ones that say "Make liberals cry again," because they're famous for if they don't get their way, they bring down and Okay, so I got them all here. Hats are $15 a piece. Flags are $10 each. I don't put them on the website because there's a shortage of these things. And I mean massive shortage. You have no idea. So if you want them, you call on the phone, talk to us. You know, maybe we'll sell you one over the phone. You know, with another order, we'll put one in. The flags are only $10. Everyone else sells them for $20 and $30. But if you live in the area, and we're in Hayden on Government Way, if you live in the area, you just come on in, you see what we got, And if we're running out, you better snag it quick. Anyway, so there's that. All right, so we're going to get right into the economy. This pandemic, this fraud that's been created worldwide, that's trying to convince the whole world that everyone can die from this disease, has really affected people in what they do. You know, in the depression during the 20s and 30s, the big deal was theaters. That was the big thing. Everybody wanted to go and escape reality and go to a theater and watch something. You could go to a theater for a nickel or a dime and watch movies. When I was a kid in Redding, California, every Saturday, they had this big theater downtown. And for 50 cents, the parents would drop the kids off at 9 a.m. and then pick them up again at 5 p.m. The whole day. And for 50 cents is all it cost. And there were jugglers and magicians and clowns and weird comedy skits, and you got a hot dog, a Coke, and a bag of popcorn, and then some movies. And they were always like Disney movies and something like that. So people aren't going to these theaters now, and it's really affecting them, these monster theaters. And for the past 15 years, theaters have been building up like crazy, especially here in Coeur d'Alene. Well, AMC Theaters and Cinemark are the two largest theater companies on Earth. And they both came out, and this is kind of sad, but they both came out, and this is earlier in the month, and they said, we don't have any no plans to close. We're all doing fine. We're nothing's wrong, just nothing at all. And then AMC Theaters come out, and they say, well, now notice this is not, all of this information is not right in the New York Times. This is in, I got to search for it. It's in Economic News. It's in Wall Street Journal. AMC comes out and says, our cash reserves are, you know, if things don't change by the end of the year, we might be in trouble. And then a few days later, AMC comes out and says, you know, we're actually looking at the books again, and we might be thinking about bankruptcy here. And then a couple days later, Cineworld, which owns all the Regal movie theaters in the world, comes out and says, we're closing everything. All of them closing. So if any of you people work for theaters out there, you better figure out something else to do. They're not going to tell you, we're closing, we're thinking about closing. This is the problem with large corporations. In fact, almost any business. They don't want to warn their employees that they're closing, because their employees then would say, oh, well, screw you, and they'd quit and walk off or cause problems. So they're not telling you what's going on. New York City is destroyed by the communist governor and the communist mayor. Literally, it's destroyed. In fact, the most famous hotel in Manhattan is now closing. This is the Roosevelt Hotel. They're closing permanently. There's not enough. You know, they have to have a certain level of staff. And when you have three or four people staying at the hotel in a week, there's not enough money coming in to pay anyone. So they're closing them down. Roosevelt Hotel is coming down. Not coming down, closing permanently. But, they say this permanently stuff, but you know what's going to happen. It's going to be closed down for a while, and then they're going to open it up again, theoretically, unless the communists get their way, which doesn't look like it's going to happen. But you never know. When you have your state run by communists. Now, you understand, I don't waste my time with the word Democrat, because they are communists. And if you understand the definition of communism, you go, well, that's a Democrat. Yeah, so you got communists in charge. They're just purposely, their goal is the destruction of capitalism. And so that's what they're doing. And they're using every excuse under the sun to do so. Now, remember, we're under the economy here. There is a problem that occurred, and it was only for about 2 days, but it brought something to my attention. And I hope it didn't bring it to your attention. You know these banking apps you get on your phone? These so-called smartphones, you have a banking app. Now, I've warned you about those before. They're hacked all the time. But people don't listen. They say, oh, it's so much easier to do everything on my cell phone. Why, I never have to pull my head out of my cell phone's port. I can leave it shoved up there all day and all night and do everything on it. The banking apps went down. All the mobile banking apps went down. Some of them you wouldn't even notice. Some of them went down for seconds. Some of them went down for an hour. And a lot of them went down for days. But think about that. If you have a banking app, and this is how you do, this is how I see these millennials. They'll have their phone, right? And they go in and they buy something, and they just swipe their phone in front of the cash register gizmo, and it'll automatically debit their card. Well, if that app goes down, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you can't deposit money? There's also apps you can get to deposit checks. Like if you're a vendor and you're out at a flea market or something, some guy writes you a check, you can scan it with the bank app and instantly deposit it. You don't have to have the actual physical check. Well, that app went down. It's that simple. I have people here that come in the store. Now, we only take cash when you come in. Only take cash. And there's signs. There's a sign on our door. There's a sign in a cash register, cash only. You know what's funny? People come in, they look at that sign, they walk in the door, they look at the cash register, and they pull out a debit card. Well, that's good as cash, isn't it? That's an example of the failure of the public school system right there. Cash is cash. It's green, at least in this country. So if you don't have cash, you're going to end up in trouble when all of the banking apps, when the credit card companies go tits up, when the banks themselves shut down. This happens. They're hacked on a daily basis, and they're doing their best to keep everything running. But, you know, this whole infrastructure, this internet infrastructure is literally being held together with duct tape and baling wire. Even a power surge takes things out. We just had a windstorm here. Not a real bad one. Winds only got up to about gusting 75 or so. That's not real bad for up here. But it took out a bunch of banking systems up here. Not for long, because they work 24/7 to get the damn things running again. Now, any of you have businesses out there and you're listed on Yelp, Y-E-L-P, or have you ever gone on Yelp to see, well, you know, I might want to go into that restaurant. I wonder what the reviews say. So you go on Yelp and it lists the reviews. We're on Yelp. Survival Enterprises is on Yelp. And we've had, I don't know, 4 reviews, and one of them was from a psychotic liberal. So I don't even waste my time. I don't care. See, here's the thing. I don't care. But Antifa and other communist organizations are compiling lists of fascist businesses so woke individuals can find out if the business is fascist or exhibits racist behavior. So Yelp is putting this together with communists in the United States. They're going to alert unsuspecting and possible customers that this business, whatever business it might be, is a racist business or a fascist business. And without question, I'm sure we'll be on any of those lists. It's just the way it's, I guarantee it. I had no question about it whatsoever. All right, now we're going to get into the food and health. First, we're going into the health part. I don't know if you remember, but about a month ago or so, A virologist that worked at the Wuhan laboratory came out in the United States and said, this virus is a weapon. It's a bioweapon that was purposely released by China. And there was a lot of hoo-ha on that, about that person. And they did all the talk shows, and not the mainstream media. Mainstream media wants nothing to do with it because their whole goal is the destruction of capitalism and the United States. So they could care less. But all the alternative alternative news agencies and who actually people listen to. That's why I never had him on my show because, you know, I got like, what, 48 and a half people listen to my show. Okay, so remember China, right? So this virologist that blew the whistle on China, his mother got arrested by the Chinese government. She's going to disappear now. That's what they do. This is what communist organizations and governments do. If you escape, they punish your relatives. Now, I don't know if you're paying any attention to the so-called vaccines worldwide that they've been working on. They're talking about all of these different companies that are working on these vaccines, and every single one of these vaccines have had to stop. They're not saying that. They're saying, oh, yeah, we're working on it, but every single one had to stop because their volunteers were suffering. And all they're saying is serious reactions. They're not saying how many have died. They're not saying what the reactions are. But every single company that's working on a vaccine to manufacture, they've had to shut down and start from scratch. Now, if, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. If you, the listener, have listened to me for the past year, you have received every particle of data necessary for you to understand truth and reality and for you to be able to evaluate that. I give a little bit each show. I've already talked about this, what I'm going to tell you right now. There are organizations worldwide where businesses, doctors, hospitals go to register a new virus or bacteria and to check out, like a library, check out samples of a virus or bacteria to study. So there are organizations that want a sample of SARS-2 coronavirus 19 that the CDC has, except the CDC has no active samples of the COVID virus. They have none. This is per their documents. The CDC, who is supposed to be an expert on this thing, has no virus to sample, to work with, to test vaccines on. What does that say? Well, if they don't have a sample of it, then it doesn't exist, does it? And speaking of these viruses, or the vaccines that they're going to create that's supposed to affect the virus, well, how can they do that when they don't have a virus to test it against? But I have a list here, and the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, put out a document that reveals all of the excipients or ingredients of all the vaccines being used in the United States. I have a list of all of these ingredients. You read those ingredients and your jaw is going to drop. And they'll be posted on my website. You just go to show notes and you'll find them. Belgian health experts have demanded a full investigation into the World Health Organization and the CDC for fraud, misrepresentation. I mean, there's so many different levels of this. This is big. They are demanding a full investigation because this coronavirus, the whole thing smacks of fraud and collusion in every country. Now, be that as it may, they'll let them play with that and see what comes out of that. There was some data that came out, and I've already talked about this to you. Low zinc levels are associated with people who are infected by the COVID virus. Low zinc levels. Zinc is a simple mineral that you can buy. We sell it. We got 50 milligram zinc pills, 100 milligram zinc pills, and we have zinc lozenges. Now, at the Mayo Clinic, they did research on zinc. And they discovered that taking zinc prophylactically ahead of time, if you do get sick, and that's the key word, if you do get sick from a virus, it lasts about one-third the time of somebody who's not taking zinc. But if you're taking zinc, it stops a virus's ability to duplicate and replicate. So basically, and I have the write-up right here. You can look at it yourself and understand it. Now, there's also a warning that came out. There is a positive association between COVID-19 deaths and the flu vaccine. Do not get the flu vaccine. Do not get it. Because when you get the flu vaccine, you're opening up your body to accept the stronger flu, which is the SARS-2 COVID-19 flu. So do not get the flu vaccine. There's proof that people who get the flu vaccine and have been getting it for the past 6 months will end up with a stronger flu, which is the COVID-19. Now, my show today is going to tie things together for you, but you're going to have to pay attention. As I've said many times, life is a participation sport. You got to participate. You got to pay attention. There was last year a research done, and this was participated by many local, private, and public organizations in the U.S., and they wanted to see what would happen if there was a severe pandemic of influenza, which originates in China. You get that? This was a test. It was a simulation, and it was done months before COVID-19 magically showed up. This is called the Crimson Contagion. I have a copy, which I'm going to post. It's a PDF which talks about it. But basically, these organizations, along with our Department of Health and Human Services, which is Deep State, and the Gates Foundation, and there's more to it than that. But they decided to see exactly what would happen if. And then magically enough, within months, it did happen. And everything that they created in this crimson contagion shows up and starts happening. All right, now we're going into the food section. There's a big dog food recall right now. You guys, pay attention. Your pets, you know, I know you love your dogs, you love your cats, you love your llamas and weasels and whatever the hell else you got crawling all over you. Unfortunately, most people just go, oh, go get some dog food at Walmart. Okay, I mean, it's not a big deal, but you really have to start paying attention to what's in that dog food. And there's a big, big dog food recall right now by the Food and Drug Administration. That's how bad it is. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently announced that it is expanding a previously announced dog food recall. Anything made by Sunshine Mills, period. I don't care what brand it is. It's Sunshine Mills is the manufacturer, and they have all kinds of different names. There's a fungus that's inside of it. They don't want to go into a lot of explanation, but it creates aflatoxin, which can kill your pet. So pay attention to what you're buying. Do not buy any Sunshine Mills, and if you have some, return them immediately. Now, we also have a major recall on cantaloupe in the United States. We have these every year. They don't learn. The two major groups of people that process our food, our vegetables and fruits in the United States, are Mexicans and Muslims. And they're neither known for their hygiene. This is a multi-state recall. It's mostly like Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, and Wisconsin area. Okay? These cantaloupes are causing salmonella. Now, if you eat something, I don't care what it is, salmonella can be on meats, seafood, fruits, vegetables. If you eat some food and in a couple hours you start getting cramps in your stomach that don't go away, they just start increasing and getting worse and worse and worse, you've been poisoned. You probably have salmonella. There's two things you can do. Well, three. One, go to the emergency ward immediately and they'll pump your stomach and give you drugs and all this crap. Two, drink about 4 ounces of colloidal silver. It will kill it fast. Or three, you take Lugol's iodine, not just iodine, but Lugol's iodine. Now, all of this you can find on our website, se1.us. You take 10 drops of Lugol's iodine in about 2 to 3 ounces of water, drink it down. The colloidal silver and or the Lugol's will kill the salmonella within 10 minutes, and you'll be back asleep. I know I've gone through this, so have a lot of my customers. Okay, so under the food, I know this should be under the liberal psychosis, but you know the Eskimo pie? Remember the Eskimo pie? Dreyer's Eskimo pie. Well, to be politically correct and to not offend Eskimos, I guess, they're pausing production so they can change the name. They're going to change it to Eddie's Pie. Not Eskimo Pie, but EDY. EDY's Pie. I have no clue. But when and if I ever go and buy one, if it doesn't say Eskimo Pie, I won't buy it. See, you know what's sad is that some of these articles, they should be in another section, but they actually can be in this one. Like we have this communist that's running right now with Sleepy Joe, Kamala Harris. She was asked and she said, yes, I am going to regulate how much meat Americans can eat. I'm going to regulate that. Yes, she's going to tell us what we can eat and how much of it we can eat. Okay. That's not communism at all. Monsanto, now I found this really funny because Monsanto creates Roundup. They have a charity partner. This is an interesting article, but Monsanto does a lot of charity work by meaning giving away food. They give away free food, toxic food. And what they're noticing, now their groups that they work with are food banks. And these food banks are seeing so many millions more people trying to get food from them this year than before. And that's understandable because the government has shut everything down. City, county, state, federal, They've shut everything down. How the hell are people supposed to buy food if they have no money coming in? Now, you've heard the Ice Age farmer talk on my show, and if you've gone to his website, you've heard him there, and he's got his fingers on the pulse of agriculture and food production worldwide. I was watching some news at about 4 a.m., and this was only a 30-second blurb, and I saw that, and I called him on a phone, and I said, Christian, you got to look into this, man. China, you know how they have what they call the wet markets there. You know, vendors go in there and they got everything from dogs to roosters to chicken to eels. They have all kinds of fish, not all kinds of bats, all kinds of different foods. And they had this thing called a coconut rat. And that's got my attention because I've never heard of that. A coconut rat, and how China was going to ban the raising of coconut rats. I'm like, what the hell is the hell that about? That's all. That was all. That was on the air. So I told him about that. He contacted me back after a couple days after he'd done some research and discovered something about this whole thing. And this should shock the whole world. This is not just, oh, gee, that's interesting that's happening in China. This should shock the whole world. Now, I put two segments of the Ice Age Farmer together, because both of them are relevant to what's happening right now. And I am seeing this, and I know you're seeing this if you're going to the grocery store. After you hear this, the Ice Age Farmer report, realize this. The population of China is about 1.5 billion people. How are they going to eat?
Our food supply is under attack, and I want to take a look at a few of the most recent examples of sabotage being conducted against it at multiple levels, from the policy making to the data reporting to on the ground, literally setting things on fire and putting things into crops that will damage farmers' equipment or kill off livestock thousands at a time. And we begin in New Zealand, where the government has instituted policies which, while allowing musicians and non-essential workers of any sort to come in from anywhere in the world, migrant farm workers are summarily denied entrance, even from countries that have no COVID-19 outbreaks.
Right, as we heard earlier this morning, Immigration New Zealand has granted border exemptions to some offshore musicians to participate in the summer winery tour, 29, I think. And as all rugby fans are well aware, immigration accommodations have been made for the Australian rugby team, plus the English netball team and the West Indies and Pakistan cricket teams and the America's Cup teams. But for experienced seasonal fruit pickers, even from completely COVID-19 free Samoa, they haven't had a single case, our borders remain shut. How many people would normally come in? How many fruit pickers come in?
About 14,000.
14,000?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And what happens if you don't get them? What happens to fruit picking? What happens to horticulture generally? It's not just fruit, it's veggies, the whole lot. What happens to it?
Well, we won't get harvested. The crops will rot on the ground and prices will increase really quickly. As well as which, there'll be a lot of loss of work for our packers, because if we don't have fruit to pack, we don't have work for them.
And presumably there's just downstream domino after domino falling, right?
Absolutely. Because
yes, so crops rotting on the ground, food prices rising. We're hearing these stories echo across everywhere in the world right now, including also we heard the same words from Michigan, where Governor Whitmer instituted mandatory testing for farm workers, much like Governor Inslee in Washington and Governor Newsom in California. These governors, who are obviously all quite in on the attempt to shut down food production, have shown us that when you mandate COVID-19 tests, the farm workers say, whoa, I don't want to have anything to do with this, because it could affect my own livelihood. If I get quarantined for 2 weeks, this is money I need for my family. So they ran away. They left those states to find somewhere they could work. And that means that there were unpicked fields and orchards left behind, food rotting in the ground. We can see from these three examples that this is why Joe Biden, once he finishes playing with his face diaper here, this is why when he gives an example of we should be expanding mandatory testing.
It's not just the folks in the White House or who travel with me that deserve regular testing. It's folks in the meatpacking and food processing plants, grocery store workers, every single American.
It's no coincidence that the three examples he gives are all related to the food supply chain, because this is a coordinated attack, and these COVID-19 tests are a way of just shutting down whatever you want. Just throw more testing at it, you'll get false positives, and then you can shut it down. So when you see this gentleman suggesting that we mandate testing for everyone in the food supply chain, it's quite clear what's actually going on. Now let's look at the fact that the USDA has been going back to last year's numbers and retroactively bumping down the numbers. So we heard last year on this channel, the Ice Age Farmer channel, a top 1% producer come on and say, look, there's a force at work who's trying to give the impression that everything is okay here. In other words, the USDA is lying about the crop production numbers. It's much worse than they're letting on. Well, that has been vindicated this year as the USDA goes back to last year's numbers now that no one's paying attention to them, and bumps them down. So if they had given out this number initially, people would have freaked out and the market would have adjusted. And the market really defines people's perceptions. I get so many messages from people that say, Christian, you're talking about food supply issues, but the market doesn't seem to reflect that. So it's clearly not happening, right? So this is perception management. The USDA lies when it happens, and then now they go back and they massage those numbers. And this is causing many experts to say, yeah, they're ruining their credibility here. And some people have given up. It's a complete joke at this point. So this is an example of changing the data to manage perceptions, to manage the market prices, and that controls reality. But the bottom line is nobody governs truth, and those crops are not there, and our food supply is at risk. Now let's take a look at this report out of Amsterdam, which a gentleman sent me. Here's the translation. Agricultural terror. Iron bolts hung in the cornfield. And we read from the article, a remarkable form of vandalism in Clarenbeek. Iron bolts are suddenly attached to the corn, causing major problems when harvesting the crop. Two machines have already been damaged to the tune of thousands of euros. Quote, they want to take out the farmer. And while it actually turns out that it's the contractor that owns those combines that are having to take the repair bills, not the farmer, the intent here remains clear that this is an attack on the farmers. But I got even more insight into what was going on when the next day, this story appeared out of Michigan, 1,000 acres of corn in Bay County sabotaged in order to kill cows, according to police. Quote, police are investigating an odd case of vandalism to a Bay County farmer's crops, one which would potentially have harmed thousands of cows if not detected in time. The sheriff described this operation as a, quote, willful, specific intent to harm livestock. The perpetrators took pieces of aluminum and scrap metal and affixed them using zip ties to stalks of corn. All in all, three of the farmers' fields had been targeted, totaling thousands of acres of corn, which have now been thrown away. Quote, the corn got put through a silage chopper and was ground into fine pieces in order to feed to the cattle. But the metal pieces were in there as well. And so all of these metal shavings, quote, were intended to cause internal damage to the cows that ate it. As the corn was being harvested, fortunately, the ground up metal shavings began making noises, and they noticed it before they actually fed this tarnished food to the cows. It had, quote, so much metal shavings in it, had the cows eaten it, it probably would have killed them. 1,000 acres of silage was lost, and the farmer estimated that the cost of this was about $500,000, but had they actually taken out the 4,000 head of cattle, it would have been much worse. In fact, it almost certainly would have been game over for that rancher. You can't lose 4,000 head of cattle and just come back the next day and stay in business. I'm glad that they caught this before the animals were lost, but this is an example of, no matter who it is, animal rebellion or extinction rebellion out there trying to attack animal agriculture or someone else, this is indicative of the continuing attack on animal agriculture and on traditional farming and ranching, which we know from the Rockefeller's own report, Reset the Table, is being taken out. It's a transformation of the U.S. food supply and a move to indoor, vertical insect farms and fake meat. Make no mistake, this is part of the coordinated attack on agriculture. I also wanted to look at this latest fire. We've seen fires at sugar refineries in Louisiana, grain silos in Iowa, warehouses in the UK. Somehow, infrastructure across the food supply chain is just burning down, just suddenly catching fire and immolating. And this, a huge grain silo in Marengo, Saskatchewan, burned down. It is a huge facility with tons, and it's been added on to over the years in sort of a patchwork of things. But this has been damaged, and of course, we're now at the end of harvest season. All of these silos were chock full of grains. So this is another example where we lose both a ton of food and the infrastructure itself that was used to hold and distribute this food. They are whittling away at our food supply, and I just wanted to make that abundantly clear. You can also see my previous reports where I've covered some of those other fires. They're just happening around the world, just coincidentally, at an order of magnitude never before seen. This is off the scales right now. So you can see, ladies and gentlemen, that at all levels, from the governance to the data reporting to literally on the ground conducting sabotage and poisoning animals, food supply is under attack, and it is incumbent upon all of us right now to spread the word about the agendas that are at play and to start growing our own food. What is absolutely true is that the fires and explosions around the world at poultry and pig farms, grain elevators and silos, sugar refineries, food warehouses and distribution centers, meat packers, it's just off the charts right now how quickly the food supply and infrastructure is literally going up in flames. This egg factory in Northern Ireland was the latest accidental ignition. Of course, eggs are not exactly known for being flammable, but notwithstanding, here's what remains. There will not be many eggs coming out of this facility in Ireland. Now, this is the third fire in Ireland in the last few weeks that has affected animal agriculture. There was another that took out 6,000 chickens and one that killed 2,000 pigs. As I said, the frequency and the extent to which we're being attacked right now is stunning. So much so, in fact, that today I created a new tool that can help map out these blazes. Here you can see those three. But I've also added some of the fires from previous reports, like the massive warehouse fire in Essex, at the warehouse that serves a lot of the UK with fresh food, and the bakery in Sweden, which was the largest bakery in the country that burned to the ground. It's pretty remarkable how much of this is going on. And so to get a sense of that visually, how pervasive this is, I created this food supply attack map. You can find it at icehfarmer.com/fire. And if you hear, because a lot of times these things are only reported locally, if you hear of farmers that are attacked or sabotaged or parts of our food supply that are burning to the ground, please send me a note, icehfarmer@protonmail.com, and I'll gladly add it to this map. And you can share this out so people can also learn what's going on right now. Now, the true threat, though, to our food supply is not arson on the ground level, but the state and the big multinational actors. Here's a key article from China where they've just indicated they're going to phase out farming of almost all wild animals within the next 6 weeks here, by the end of 2020. From the article, quote, bamboo rats, civet cats, and porcupines, a total of 45 wild animal species will no longer be farmed at all, and there are also 19 other species that you can only now farm for medicine. What happens if you farm these things? Well, you're going to, quote, need to find another way to make a living. That's it. Just, you're done. Get a job, sir. How many people? A large number of people are involved in farming these. In fact, an estimated 14 million people in China, most of them poor and rural, breed wildlife for a living. Ladies and gentlemen, that's more than New York City, Chicago, and LA put together that are now being told by the Chinese government, you're done. Go find something else to do. Come take our UBI. They were told to stop the practice immediately and apply for compensation from the Chaicoms, but somehow, as always with communists, the compensation is lagging behind and the farmers' livelihoods are in shambles. So they're just completely shutting down animal agriculture. The communist government, here's the key, the communist government goes on to say, it's kind of hard, though, to enforce this because people could be lying about what they're growing and we have to go in and check everything. Quote, a blanket ban on wild animal species would be better. And then we'll just have a small whitelist of exceptions. Here's what you can grow. And this is really the core of it. Rather than a permissive society with a few restrictions on things that would be dangerous, we're now moving to a you can't do anything except what the state tells you. And if you think this is just happening in China, you are mistaken. By the way, there are more that should be outlawed. This group will be phased out in a smooth manner, he said, without elaborating. In other parts of the world where you don't have a central Chinese communist government, it takes different forms, but it is happening nonetheless. Here is a company called Insect, which is the latest insect-based protein company to pull down a huge round, $372 million. Even in the midst of economic turmoil around the world, somehow $250 million, more than that, goes to this company to build the world's biggest insect farm north of Paris. What's going on here? How, during an economic downturn, does someone get away with setting aside more than $250 million to grow bugs? And why is the UK government doing the same thing? They're setting aside $13 million for industrial insect farms. In fact, they're funding this company, EntoCycle. Well, it's because, ladies and gentlemen, the big multinational companies like Walmart have signaled that they will be using their immense scale and purchasing power to demand from their suppliers a fundamental transformation of the supply chain. Specifically, the Walmart sustainability officer spoke a couple weeks ago at the World Economic Forum's latest shindig, where she said,
to transform product supply chains, and that includes forest products, as well as products that come from oceans and are sourced back to agricultural lands, to grasslands, to decarbonize those supply chains.
That's right. We're going to decarbonize our supply chain. If you produce any carbon, we don't want your product at Walmart anymore. There's no market for your product. We're going to put you out of business. And if this sounds familiar, it should, because it's exactly what we read from the Rockefeller Foundation's Reset the Table plan just a few short weeks ago, where they decided we would relentlessly apply true cost accounting. In other words, if you have cow farts, then you shouldn't be doing business anymore. You remember the University of Sheffield study that said sheep farmers could make more money if they just collected carbon offsets and stopped farming sheep. This is a complete technocratic bid to put farmers and ranchers out of business and instead put the bugs on your plate. And it's happening in real time and at rapid speed right now. So unless these insects are appetizing to you, I highly recommend you start growing your own food right now.
Now, Christian has referenced the Rockefeller Foundation food policy paper numerous times. This is where all of this stuff is coming from. This is not a lightweight attack on the world. This is the Illuminati's final push for full control of everyone and everything on Earth. How do you control a population? You can't do it at the barrel of a gun, but you can do it at the end of their fork. If they have nothing to put on it, they can't eat. If they have no food except what they're wanting us to eat, then we're screwed. If you don't have the right to raise chickens, sell eggs, raise cattle, go fishing, do anything to feed yourself, go hunting. If you no longer have that right and the only food that you're going to get is what the government hands you, there's a movie you need to watch. I've had clips from it and I've played them on the air. It's called Soylent Green. This is not a joke. They already have this in preparation and in planning right now. Go watch the movie Soylent Green. Anyway, I'm going to have a copy of the Rockefeller Foundation policy letter. It'll be on my website, armchairsurvivalist.com. You just go there and you look for show notes and you got to learn. People have to learn. People aren't learning. They're just existing and saying, "Well, that's interesting. He said something interesting today." Well, okay. Thank you. And that's it. And they're not getting mad. They're not paying attention. You know, the low-life scum get a hell of a lot angrier than normal population do. Of course, that's a given anyway. But we're getting to the point where if we don't stand up and start fighting back, we're definitely going to be in 1984. All right, now we're getting into the liberal psychosis. And this is about the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, violence, and fear. You could call them the Democrats. I call them the communists. Everyone knows all the branches of social media is really censoring everything that has to do with conservatism. But I found this thing really, really strange. There was an ad on Facebook from Fred Meyers, a store here, Kroger Stores is what it is. And they were advertising some vegetables. And Facebook removed the ad because of what it looked like. It was a basket of onions. And nobody knows why it was removed. They were like, what? And in fact, they even talked about it on ABC. And the woman anchor that was talking about it, she's reading off her prompter and looking at the picture. And she goes, what is it supposed to look like? Boobs or something? I don't think she knew her mic was on. Netflix, you know, Netflix is a now owned by a whole gaggle of communists, including Obama and his wife, Mike. So they're doing things that are disgusting to normal Americans. And they came out with this movie called Cuties. And it's about these 11 and 12-year-old girls and their sexual escapades and how they're it's a bunch of crap is what it is. Well, it turns out now that Texas has indicted Netflix, because Netflix is a corporation. So has indicted Netflix for child pornography. And it's going forward in courts. So Netflix is going to get itself... It's already lost, I think, 23% of its viewers have disappeared. Said, to hell with this. I'm not going to waste my money anymore to this kind of crap. Because they're promoting... Netflix has movies out there. They have a whole category of movies for sexual perversion. A whole category. California fires are still growing. Yeah, that's not a surprise. They have so many criminals there, Muslims and Antifa members that are purposely starting fires. And in Colorado now, the Colorado has the largest forest fire it's ever had in history. Those of you out there who have PlayStation, the little console game they call it, if you play PlayStation, then you know that there's a chat capability where you can actually talk to the people that's playing the game with you. You put your headset on, you plug it in, blah, blah, blah. PlayStation has now come out and said that we will be recording all the chats. Everybody that talks on PlayStation is going to be recorded and monitored. And if they are racist, fascist, mean people, you know, microaggressions, all of this PC crap, then we're going to either cancel or limit your account. I have the links here. You can go check these things out yourself. Also, there is this group, and I've mentioned it lightly, and that's as far as I'll go with it. QAnon. 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 And they talk about all kinds of stuff, mostly conservative stuff. The liberals come out and say, oh, it's all conspiratorial that they talk about. That's because they're just a conspiracy site, except everything they talk about is true. But Instagram has banned QAnon and anyone associated with them, and so has YouTube, and so has Facebook. And I mean, they're getting banned everywhere. But what none of these places will ban is ISIS. They won't ban recruiting Instagram messages from ISIS, from psychotic Muslims. They won't do that. They'll ban everything else but that. Now, we all know that the city of Portland, Oregon, is a hotbed of communist, racist, angry, whatever the hell they are. I'm not sure what these creatures can be called, but they hate white, they hate America, they hate anything that has to do with conservatism. And in a recent op-ed on the city of Portland's official website, Markeisha Smith, the director of Portland's Office of Equity and Human Rights, said that we the people, the Constitution's opening words, was not talking about my people, black people, and that the Bill of Rights was not created to be a set of rights that protected black folks, F-O-L-X, obviously a college graduate. This is the standard thing that we hear from these communists. Whether they're black or white, it's the same thing. Constitution is from old, dead, white racist. That's why the Constitution should be ignored. You shouldn't believe anything that's in the Constitution, because it should be changed. It should be modified. Now, we have this guy named Mark Kelly. He is a Democrat candidate for the Senate in Arizona. Now, he hates law enforcement, which is sad because his parents are both cops. But he hates law enforcement. He thinks they should be defunded, blah, blah, blah. And one of his staffers actually did an obscene tweet about cops, and now he has to cover his backside, so to speak. And the funny thing is that people in Arizona are thinking that he is quote-unquote moderate. He's moderate. He was an astronaut, right? So he's moderate. Except for one minor thing, Project Veritas did an undercover thing on this guy.
Mark Kelly, like his fellow Democrats, can't get elected on the real agenda. So Mark Kelly is lying to Arizona voters. James O'Keefe exposing the Democrat Mark Kelly's true plans to crack down on your Second Amendment rights.
I'm James O'Keefe on location in Arizona, and Helica Carpeo is a field organizer for Mission for Arizona, basically Arizona's Democratic Party, and an extension of the Mark Kelly campaign. Mark Kelly can't get elected if he's honest with the voters, and Helica tells us to what lengths K Kelly will go in order to win the election.
Arizona is a very Republican state in general, like a red state, and I know, actually right now it's purple, technically, but I just think he wants to get those independents, he wants to get those Republicans that don't trust Trump anymore. One of their main issues is guns, so I don't think he's fully, like, been out there saying, like, I want, like, a full gun, like, control type measure, and I think it's because he just wants to get elected first, and then he wants to go further.
He wants to go further. We've heard it before. This time it's Democrat Mark Kelly running for Senate in Arizona.
Even the staffers are like kind of confused, like we want him to come full force out, but it's just like the problem is this is such a consequential state coming up
right
soon, and like I think he's trying to be elected and then he'll like implement the measures. You always can for politicians. I mean, like, everybody on the staff can say this, like every politician, not I'm like defaming my campaigner.
No.
Definitely some questions to answer there, Project Veritas, on the case. Yet again, Mark Kelly clearly hiding from his Arizona voters until after the election.
Now, we're still under liberal psychosis, but now I got a little subcategory called black commie crap. Actually, that's not what I exactly call it, but that'll work. So we have, and this category is everything that has to do with the typical communist racism and the buttons and the games they're playing. And Bill Gates, now remember, the idea of all of these elitists is the destruction of capitalism worldwide. So everything they do is aimed towards that. So Australia received $1.1 million from the Bill Gates Foundation for anti-racist learning. This is to help them figure out how to teach their children how to be anti-racist. Now, this blurb came out, and I'm like, I don't know. I've seen this in action before, but you know, you see the pictures of the security guards standing outside of all of these buildings and stores in New York City that have been looted, or other cities. You see the security guards standing out there. Well, the majority of them have been told, if it's a black person that's stealing in from there, don't touch them. Don't say anything. Just try and get some information on them, and that's all. Let them go, because you don't want to be doing something that'll reflect negatively on us. So you're racist if you stop a looter, especially if they're black. Now, school kids are being taught certain things that Trump does not like, and he's ordered them stopped. We'll see what happens if this kind of racism continues on. Elementary school kids are taught that objectivity and perfectionism are racist traits of white supremacy. There are 15 characteristics of white supremacy. Perfectionism, a sense of urgency, individualism, objectivity. The white children are being taught that all of these things, individualism, perfectionism, objectivity, are racist. This is what your child is being taught in school, and don't give me any crap about, no, I have my kid in a special school. Sorry, they're all being taught that. Unless you audit the school, you don't know what they're being taught. There is an organization that sends training data to all schools in the United States. Rethinking Columbus expanded second edition for the next 500 years. Why rethink Christopher Columbus? Because the Columbus myth is a foundation of children's beliefs about society. Columbus is often a child's first lesson about encounters between different cultures and races. The murky legend of a brave adventurer tells children whose version of history to accept and whose to ignore. It says nothing about the brutality of the European invasion of North America. We need to listen to a wider range of voices. We need to hear from those whose lands and rights were taken away by those who discovered them. The stories, too often suppressed, tell of 500 years of courageous struggle and the lasting wisdom of native peoples. So, this is the history that your children are being given to learn. And it has everything from updated resource listings, classroom materials, handouts and lesson plans, poems, website listings, and much more. Yeah, there is a website that you can go to. WhatAreTheyLearning.com. And you will find there what your children in specific areas are being taught. They'll name the states. They'll name the cities. Well, I'll give you an idea. California, critical race theory, evolution to pick curriculum. You see now, Trump said that's no longer supposed to be being taught our children or used in federal organizations. In a school, public school is a federal organization. Oregon, private school promotes destruction of capitalism. So it's a private Waldorf Swallowtail School and Farm. Cottonwood School held a protest march for Black Lives Matter. Oregon, Portland Public Schools to teach disruption of systems of oppression. New Jersey hired an equity consultant. Oh, let's see. Teacher denotes failing work with pictures of Trump. Teacher denotes failing work with picture of Trump with words, "You suck." School board aims to eradicate white supremacy and heteropatriarchy in all of our institutions. This is ridiculous. Social and emotional learning, anti-racist school climates. This is all the different states and the schools within those states and all the stuff that they're teaching them. And everything, every one of this is anti-white. They have to destroy it. Anti-white, anti-capitalistic, anti-Christian. I'll have the link. You can figure it out yourself. Or you can simply go to the University of Minnesota, because they have a 12-step program there for recovery from whiteness. Recovery from whiteness. You know, I have mentioned the Black Lives Matter fraud many times, and I actually went down the rabbit hole and studied exactly who and what these creatures are that founded it and how many millions and millions of dollars they're getting. And this whole thing is nothing more than a communist ploy for the destruction of capitalism, America, and the white race. And there's a little blurb here that you need to hear that exposes completely Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter leaders are tied to international communism and Palestinian terrorism. BLM was founded in July 2013 by three lesbian black Marxists.
Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists.
Opal Tometi is a strong supporter of Venezuela's Marxist dictator, Nicolas Maduro. Both Opal Tometi and Alicia Garza are involved with the German revolutionary organization, Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung. Based in Berlin, with offices in Beijing, Moscow, and Manhattan, the organization was established by former East German Communist Party leaders to build a new wave of international socialist revolutions.
We're bringing together socialist leaders from across the United States, from Canada and Europe, leaders of local struggles in the communities, leaders of labor, of social movement networks, leaders of socialist parties.
All three BLM founders are affiliated with a faction of the pro-China Communist Party, Freedom Road Socialist Organization, now known as Liberation Road. Alicia Garza is a member of Left Roots, a front for Liberation Road. Garza and Patrice Coolers are allies of Left Roots comrade Alex Tom, a well-known supporter of Communist China who openly supports BLM. Alex Tom was executive director of the Chinese Progressive Association, which is the main funder of Alicia Garza's Black Futures Lab, a black voter turnout group based in Boston and San Francisco and run by Maoist communists for more than 50 years. The Chinese Progressive Association is the Chinese Communist Party's main grassroots support group in the U.S. The Communist Party of China openly and covertly supports BLM.
The Chinese Foreign Ministry and the Communist Party's Global Times have been engaged in a malicious disinformation campaign, deliberately stoking racial tensions in the U.S., and U.S. Customs has seized items coming from China this year that would be very handy for protesters.
Patrice Coolers was mentored for many years by Maoist communist Eric Mann, a veteran of the ultraviolent Weathermen and the pro-China League of Revolutionary Struggle.
The black movement, not because it's the most oppressed, but because it's the most philosophically advanced, and it has a history of reaching out. If you ask every gay woman, Latino, Asian, white in the 60s, what drove you? They would say the black movement woke me up to not just my own oppression, but, you know, I remember John Scagliotti, and I said, how'd you come up with the idea of the Gay Liberation Fund? He says, why do you think we called it that? Because we believed in the National Liberation Fund of Vietnam. We weren't just wanting gay marriage. We wanted to overthrow the government as part of being queer.
BLM is also closely tied to the Palestinian Revolutionary Movement.
We came here to Palestine to stand in love and revolutionary struggle with our brothers and sisters.
Pakistan to Palestine, we fight to save our nation! Palestine to Pakistan!
U.S.-based Ahmad Abuzzaneid is a prominent BLM and Palestinian activist.
The days of the U.S. operating as an international gangster are over.
Ahmad Abuzzaneid supports Palestinian terrorist Razmeh Odeh, who was once jailed for the bombing murder of two Israeli students. Ahmad's father, Nabil Abuzzaneid, was once an advisor to Palestinian terrorist leader Yasser Arafat. Young Ahmad grew up admiring his father's comrade.
Develop an international strategy, work with people all over the world, and overthrow the empire.
Anyone who takes a knee to Black Lives Matter is bowing to Chinese communism and terrorism.
Now, I've played some clips, and I've seen a lot of different clips, and I've read a lot of different proof that the majority of these rioters, this Antifa and the BLM rioters and looters and all, were paid to do what they were doing. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people think that's a joke. No, it's not. It's not a joke. As a matter of fact, 90%, and this is what they're running right now, 90% of these rioters are hired off of Craigslist ads. You can find them. Wherever you are, go to Craigslist and do a search. Do a search for riot. Do a search for protesters. Just, you know, find some words and do it, and you'll see them. I've seen two of them. They had one here in Spokane area. And it got flagged. See, the nice thing about Craigslist, if enough people go to an ad and flag it for inappropriate, just flag it. You don't have to tell them why. They'll take that ad down. Well, it was taken down within a day. But it's real. These people are being paid. You don't have a whole bunch of groundswell people in the United States that give a damn about all of this stuff. They're being paid, and it's false. This is what's known as false data. You look at the news and you see thousands of people marching with all of these pre-made signs, and you think, well, there's a lot of people that really care about this. No, there are a lot of people that are really paid to pretend that they care about this. And that's the reality of it. There is no giant minority that's rising up. These are paid protesters. Now, there's a lot, and I mentioned this before, there's a lot of businesses that are flowing money towards the communist organizations in the United States, and Black Lives Matter is one of them. I happen to have a list of businesses that support them. I'm not even going to start reading. I'm just going to allow you to figure it out yourself. You can go to the website, armchairsurvivalist.com, go to the show notes for October the 18th, and you can find them yourself. Now we're going to get into government threats. Now, this covers anything, any government anywhere in the world that's they're doing to their people or our people or whatever. You know, and it's not just governments; it's those things that work for governments or control governments. You know how on computers and phones they use cookies. For those of you who don't understand what that is, that's a little tiny file that says this is your name, this is what you're doing on this website, this is what you just bought. Generally, it's just the pertinent data from that visit, okay? Now, a lot of people they don't like that idea. They don't like these cookies can stay around forever. Literally, they'll be hidden on your computer. And if you go, let's say I went on Google and I searched for toilet paper. So 5 years later, I go on Google again and I'll see ads for toilet paper. It's because there's a little cookie that says this is what he did when he came to this site last time. He looked for toilet paper. Or you go to Amazon and you buy a deck of cards. Well, the next thing you know, your email is receiving ads for cards. So this is what cookies are doing. And people don't like it, so they're creating programs and apps that erase cookies, that protect you from cookies. Well, they're getting smarter than that now. And they're starting to not use cookies. They're calling it data trackers. And what this is, well, let's say your smartphone, because what is it, 65 to 75% of people now use their phone to shop? So they have what's called data trackers. Now, if you look at your smartphone, you know how you can take your smartphone and pick it up, and it's sideways, and you go, well, I want to see this picture larger, so you turn it, and your picture will change. It'll get bigger or smaller, okay? That's a rotate program that's inside of your phone. They can hook a data tracker to your rotation. They can hook a data tracker to movement or your GPS. There's all kinds of different things that they can hook to this. So they're called data trackers now, and this is the new thing. This is the new thing. You're going to have to start watching your phone and your computer and your laptop and your tablet and all the other oddball items that people use to go on the internet, because they're finding new ways to track you, new ways. And by the way, if you have a Apple phone and you've got an iPhone, and you've got the latest update on it, well, there is a security update, let's put it that way, for that phone. And there's, if somebody has your camera on, if your camera is on, you know, you have a camera that faces outward, you have a camera that faces inward, so you can, if you're a narcissist, you can film yourself at all the time. If the green dot is on, that means your camera is on. That's their new update. They have a little green dot now that comes on your iPhone if your camera's on. And a lot of people are noticing that green dot, and they didn't turn their camera on. Pay attention if you got an iPhone, because that's something new. Here's another thing from Google. You know, all of those things in your house, like Alexa and all the speakers, the smart speakers and the smart this and the smart that, the things you can talk to and that can do what you tell them to do, the security systems for your house, all of these things that listen to you are listening to every sound in your house, to the point where if a sound pops up that it has been programmed into that gizmo, not by you, of course, but by somebody else, and that sound sounds like a fire or somebody's getting beat or somebody's breaking in, there's breaking glass, all of this stuff, they can alert the police. So you're being listened to 24/7, not just for what you're saying, but for the background sounds as well. This is astoundingly invasive. If you have any of these gizmos, the Alexa speaker, I have a friend that has one, and you walk over to it and say, play the Armchair Survivalist, and boom, it asks you what date. Tell it the date, and there you are. You're listening to me all of a sudden. So that's something new that is pretty well, everyone realizes. The Department of National Intelligence has declassified all of the notes from Brennan and CIA that had to do with Clinton, and they're going to be posted. I don't know when they're going to be posted. They're going to be probably after the election, because the deep state doesn't want to influence the election. Influence. They call it influencing. Let's see. The Department of Homeland Security has come out. Now, realize the Department of Homeland Security is run by a deep stater. Okay? So they do every year a policy review, and they also do a threat review. And they have decided that white supremacists are the most lethal domestic extremist threat there is to the United States. Not Black Lives Matter, not Antifa, not communists, not Craigslist, but white supremacists. And that's why you keep hearing all of these communists using the words white supremacist, because the deep state has already come out and said it's the white people that are doing it. Speaking of Nazis, those of you who live in New York City and are Jewish, now your communist mayor has the New York State Nazis tracking you and making sure that you don't dare go to a synagogue. They will arrest you if you do. They are actually sneaking around synagogues at all hours. Synagogues, not mosques. So whatever these psycho Muslims do is okay. But you Jews, well, you're evil. So they're going to be sneaking around the synagogues, looking through cracks in the windows, looking and seeing how many people at any given time are inside, and they'll start arresting you. I'm astounded, because New York City is over 50% Jews. So you're going to let a communist mayor control you like this? Okay, there were two things that occurred this week that most of you don't even know about. Now, if you go to Hal Turner's website, Hal Turner radio show. Long story on Hal. But he gets stuff before most people do. And then maybe 3 to 5 to 7 days later, whatever he gets pops up on other news agencies. Something weird happened on the 13th of October. The U.S. Department of Defense conducted a telephone test alert to all DOD contractors and key civilian employees. You've heard the alert sound on TV and sometimes on your phone and on a radio where you get the alarm. Then it says, this is the emergency broadcast system. Well, so you got the alert, and then it says, exercise, 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 incoming, 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 seek shelter, tune in to local news. I know two people up here that received that because they came in and told me about it. I don't know what it's about. I got no clue. The other strange thing that occurred this week is that federal government, and we don't know which agencies, they've been warning large corporations for about a week now of a national grid down situation, and they should prepare for it. They don't say what it is. It just says grid down, and that means no electricity, no internet, no banking. If the grid goes down, if electricity goes down, then there's going to be no banking because banking is all based on the internet, which is all based on electricity. So there will be no banking whatsoever. There will also be no truck deliveries because the trucks run on GPS. If the truck's not programmed where to go, apparently the drivers are too stupid to figure it out themselves. You know, in the old days, I was given an address and said, this is in Oakland. It's only about 90 miles from you, so I'm sure you'll find it. Well, that's what maps were for. But now everything's GPS. Flying a plane is guided by GPS. If electricity goes down, all of that goes down. So I don't know. We don't know why this is occurring, but the federal government has come out and given a whole bunch of corporations the information to prepare for a grid down situation. To prepare for a grid down situation. Not just me to you guys, and I've already talked about this a million times, don't rely on credit cards in any way, shape, or form. You better have as much cash as you can stashed away in your house somewhere. Because if electricity goes out for any reason, you will not be able to function in a banking manner. Your credit cards won't work. Your debit cards won't work. The bank won't work. So you're not going to be able to go into a bank and say, hey, I need to pull out $1,000. You're not going to be able to. Pull money out, hide it somewhere. I mean, and don't put it under your mattress for crying out loud, but hide it somewhere. Now we're going into the Trump category. And in this category, we're going to have a lot of interesting stuff. Most of it has to do with the brain-dead humanoid that's running for president against Trump. Joe Biden came out with his list for attorney general. Attorney general. All right? It's a very short list. Andrew Cuomo, Sally Yates, Abrams, which is that morbidly obese black woman who hates whites, and Republicans for that matter. So this is what this guy comes out and says, this is what I want for attorney general. These psychotics. Yeah. Now, there was an article that came out some months back from a woman named Tara Reid, who claims that she was raped by Joe Biden years ago. CBS actually granted that enough credence to interview her. And in the interview, she had proof of everything that she said had occurred. So CBS goes, you know, we need to play this. So they did. They played the interview in Australia, not America, in Australia. I don't know why they would even waste their time doing that. And by the way, Biden picked up a vital endorsement for him and for his party. The leader of the U.S. Communist Party just endorsed Biden. Let's see, big tech staffers give nearly $5 million to Biden. Oh, come on. I mean, that's a given. There is, now here's something that's, I don't know if you guys have heard about this. Have you noticed that there have been 30-second, even 1-minute ads slamming Trump, attacking Trump massively, and anybody that has anything to do with Trump, and everything Trump has done? Well, these are coming out of an organization called Midas Touch. Midas Touch was founded by some communists, and I mean, seriously, they're communists, and they're rich, and they are funded by George Soros. Of course, Bill Gates gives to them. Blumenthal gives to them. All of the the elitists that want to rule the world, they give to them. And let me, I'm going to play you an example of one of their ads, just one.
We have a chance to change the course of history.
This is about one day in your life to set the record straight.
It's time for we, the people, to come together.
This is our year to flip the Senate, take the White House, and make life better for the next 4 years.
We have got to vote for Joe Biden like our lives depend on it.
The road back begins now.
Vote. Midas Touch is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So when you hear these ads and you hear Midas Touch is responsible, well, they are. They're responsible. That's who they are. I'll have a link to it. Just you can go check it out yourself. A while ago, I played some clips from an undercover agent who had recorded leaders of Planned Parenthood talking about selling baby parts from abortions. Well, Kamala Harris at the time was the attorney general in California. So she decided that she was going to put a stop to any conservative stating the truth.
What we have all known, and Planned Parenthood for certain has known, is that we can never take for granted that any of the gains that we have achieved will be permanent.
We cannot go backwards, and we cannot tolerate a perspective that is about going backwards.
I'm David DeLeiden, and I'm the founder and project lead with the Center for Medical Progress. 5 years ago, my undercover videos caught Planned Parenthood's top leadership trafficking and selling the body parts of aborted infants. America's biggest abortion business was desperate and furious, so they turned to their political patron, then California Attorney General Kamala Harris, for help.
She's standing beside us strong.
At Planned Parenthood's special request, Kamala Harris targeted me to punish and silence my message about the abortion industry and fetal trafficking. I'm not the first person to ever record undercover video in California. Local news reporters routinely record and publish undercover video exposing factory farming, corrupt medical practices, and unlicensed marijuana vendors. Yet somehow, I have become the first person to ever have the California video recording law enforced against me for news gathering. Kamala Harris met in secret with a group of California Planned Parenthood executives in Los Angeles in March 2016 while she was running for U.S. Senate and promoting Planned Parenthood in her campaign. Action items from the meeting show that they discussed Planned Parenthood's legislative agenda in California, as well as Planned Parenthood's lies that my videos contained threats. With two of the Planned Parenthood witnesses in Kamala Harris's investigation present at the political meeting. Less than 2 weeks later, Kamala Harris sent 11 California DOJ agents to raid my one-bedroom apartment, with explicit instructions from Planned Parenthood to seize the computer and video equipment that I was using to publish the undercover videos. California Penal Code 632 prohibits secretly recording a confidential communication without the consent of all parties, and defines confidential as a communication that you cannot reasonably expect will be overheard by other people. So my team was scrupulous to record our California videos in places of public accommodation like crowded restaurants where the conversations were obviously overheard. But you can't necessarily say the same thing about local TV reporters in California who have taped inside of private doctor's offices and inside of private homes. Yet not a single one of them has ever been charged with undercover video recording in California in the 60-year history of California's video recording law. Mine is the first and only case. And there's another piece to the California video recording law that specifically allows recording even a confidential conversation in order to gather evidence relating to violent crimes. The entire purpose of our video recording in California was to document and expose the violent crimes of fetal trafficking, including selling infants aborted alive and killing them through organ harvesting and medical battery against pregnant women. If those aren't crimes of violence, I don't know what is. But Kamala Harris's investigation never even considered our purpose or addressed those crimes, even though local Southern California law enforcement prosecuted and shut down two of Planned Parenthood's business partners based on my video recordings. By the way, those business partners, the Da Vinci companies, they actually admitted guilt in a $7.8 million settlement for illegally selling body parts from abortions at Planned Parenthood Orange County. Who was the top abortion doctor for Planned Parenthood Orange County supplying those body parts? Dr. Jennifer Russo, one of the participants in the March 2016 meeting with Kamala Harris and one of the Planned Parenthood witnesses. You have to wonder, if I had been investigating unsafe grocery handling practices, animal abuse, or unlicensed gun sales, would Kamala Harris have ever thought to pursue video recording charges against me? It's pretty obvious that the reason that I alone was targeted by Kamala Harris is because I dared to criticize Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. What Kamala Harris did isn't treating people fairly or equally under the video recording law. In fact, Kamala Harris's deputy prosecutor, Jeanette Jarone, admitted in a court filing that the reason her office targeted me alone among all undercover reporters in California was because my videos were, quote, edited for shock value, and that made me, quote, more culpable than other undercover reporters in California. Obviously, I dispute the characterization that my videos were edited for shock value. What they show Planned Parenthood doing is shocking enough. But more importantly, it is your First Amendment right to promote the significance of your own message. When she said that I was targeted because of the content of my videos, Kamala Harris's deputy prosecutor admitted that the reason that I was targeted and I alone was to punish what I have to say. Planned Parenthood sells baby parts. That's why I'm suing Kamala Harris, the California Attorney General, Planned Parenthood, and others in Los Angeles federal court for conspiracy to violate First Amendment civil rights. This is crucial to defend the First Amendment rights of all Americans to report on issues that matter and to listen to what we have to say to each other without fear of government punishment. Selling body parts is a crime. Reporting on it is not. I will never bow to the tyrannical vision of leaders like Kamala Harris, who believe that they are entitled to tell us what to think, what to believe, and what to say.
Now, just so you know, Kamala Harris's father is white. Her mother is Indian, from India. And her father has disowned her. Her father says that she is a very shameless person. He does not like the idea she uses identity politics whatsoever, and she does. Her own father's not going to vote for her, so why should anybody in America vote for her? Now, something happened this week that we would actually qualify as an October surprise. Some guy at a laptop repair center had a laptop in there for a long time, and he'd repaired it, and the guy never came by and paid the bill, so by law, he was able to keep it. So in the process of keeping the laptop, he figures, well, I might as well fix it up, clean it up, and sell it. So he's going through the laptop to see what files he needs to delete, and he finds all kinds of stuff. And he also finds out the laptop's owned by Hunter Biden. And he finds emails, thousands of them, that show Hunter Biden talking to Burisma and setting up meetings with his father. It shows pictures of Hunter Biden so stoned with a crack pipe he falls asleep with it in his mouth. It shows pedophilia. It shows all kinds of crappy stuff. The guy freaks out, and he thinks he's going to get killed. So he takes it to the FBI, and he gives it to him. And he says, here, this is what I found. And the FBI said, oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And they didn't do a damn thing with it. In fact, they just kind of hid it. Well, this guy, just for the hell of it, made copies of the hard drive. So he took that hard drive when the FBI just blew him off, and he gave it to Rudy Giuliani, who released the information. Tucker Carlson has a little bit about this.
Never imagined it could happen in this country, and yet today it did happen. A major American newspaper published a story, apparently an entirely accurate story, about a presidential candidate. The tech monopolies that control American media feared this story might hurt that candidate whom they favor. So 3 weeks before a national election, they shut the whole thing down. They prevented the public from reading the news. They didn't apologize for doing this. They didn't bother to make up reasonable sounding justifications for it. They just did it, exactly as the Chinese government does. These are monopolies. They have all the power. You have none. They don't have to care what you think, and they don't. This was mass censorship on a scale that America has never experienced, not in 245 years. And it's a threat to all of us. Democracies only function when there is a free exchange of information between citizens. We no longer have that. This is a dark moment. This morning, the New York Post published a series of emails that describe Hunter Biden's lucrative relationship with a Ukrainian energy company called Burisma, and then describe how his father, then the vice president of the United States, intervened to help his son peddle influence. Now, we've known the outlines of this story for quite some time, but these emails add damning detail. No one appears to dispute that they're real, not even the Joe Biden campaign. You're hearing whispers tonight it's all part of a Russian disinformation campaign. If this is a hoax, it is the most complex, sophisticated hoax ever perpetrated. It doesn't seem possible. There are too many. There's too much detail. These emails came from a laptop, an Apple laptop, that was dropped off at a Delaware computer repair shop last year and then abandoned there. After a certain number of days with no payment, the shop's owner took legal possession of the laptop. He looked inside. There were tens of thousands of emails, including exchanges with representatives of foreign companies and foreign governments. The laptop apparently belonged to Hunter Biden. The shop owner was stunned by this, by the appearance of corruption, and he was afraid for his family. So late last year, he gave the laptop to the FBI. He kept a copy of the hard drive for himself, but he never heard back from the FBI. By May, he was anxious, so he made overtures to Senator Mike Lee's office and at least one conservative nonprofit. He emailed their websites, but no one responded. Finally, the man contacted Rudy Giuliani's office, and today's story is the result of that. Well, the tech monopolies instantly crushed it the moment it appeared. An executive at Facebook called Andy Stone, a former Democratic staffer, announced that his company would censor the New York Post story. As he put it, Facebook would be, quote, reducing its distribution on our platform. Twitter quickly followed suit by locking the New York Post's entire Twitter account. One of the biggest newspapers in the world banned from Twitter. Twitter then prevented its users from sharing the New York Post story, both privately and publicly. Those who tried to share it got this message, quote, your tweet couldn't be sent because this link has been identified by Twitter or our partners as being potentially harmful. Harmful? In a separate explanation, Twitter wrote this, quote, we don't permit the use of our services to directly distribute content obtained through hacking that contains private information, may put people in physical harm or danger, or contains trade secrets. The same Twitter that just promoted a New York Times story about the president's private tax returns, obviously obtained illegally, that Twitter. And who, by the way, was hacked here? No one was hacked. Twitter never addressed that. As for, quote, trade secrets, there were none. We already knew that Hunter Biden was trading on his father's office to make $50,000 a month from the Ukrainians. In October, he admitted it.
You didn't have any extensive knowledge about natural gas or Ukraine itself, though.
No, but I think that I had as much knowledge as anybody else that was on the board, if not more.
In the list that you gave me of the reasons why you're on that board, you did not list the fact that you were the son of the vice president.
Of course, yeah. No.
What role do you think that played?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the vice president of the United States.
Thanks for acknowledging reality. So we knew the outlines. What we didn't know until today was how brazen this was. Hunter Biden didn't simply sell access to his father, the vice president, or take cash to influence American foreign policy. No, it's weirder than that. As he schemed to extract more money from Burisma, Hunter Biden didn't refer to his father as his father. He referred to Joe Biden, the vice president, as, quote, my guy. On April 13th, 2014, for example, Hunter Biden wrote this to his business partner, quote, the announcement of my guy's upcoming travel should be characterized as part of our advice and thinking, end quote. Hunter Biden added that he needed to be, quote, protected financially and wanted a long-term role with Burisma. Quote, the contract should begin now, not after the upcoming visit of my guy. That should include a retainer in the range of $25,000. It's not clear if Biden got that retainer, but we know he did get a high-paying job at Burisma. Then in May 2014, just weeks after Hunter Biden joined the board of that company, a top executive there let him know why he was being paid. Very explicitly, quote, we urgently need your advice on how you could use your influence to convey a message, signal, etc., to stop what we consider to be politically motivated actions. The executive wrote that in an email. Quote, use your influence to convey a message. What message? What does that mean? Well, another email from the same executive obtained by the New York Post, dated April 17th, 2015, explains in very clear terms what it means. Quote, dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure. Oh, that's what you're not allowed to read. And you can see why Facebook and Twitter don't want to allow you to read it. If Joe Biden met with Burisma executives at the request of his son for the the prophet of his own family, it becomes very clear that Joe Biden's previous denials were lies. Just last year, Joe Biden was telling us he had no idea what his son was doing at Burisma.
You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board, and that was it. And there's nobody...
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like, when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was... there was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong.
Nothing on its face that was wrong. That was before we saw these emails. You'll remember that back in 2018, Joe Biden explained that he got the top prosecutor in Ukraine fired. That prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, said he was planning to investigate Burisma when he was stripped of his job. Here's how Joe Biden explained slash bragged about how he canned Viktor Shokin.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Why is the vice president of the United States firing prosecutors in Ukraine? Pause for a moment and ask yourself that. That's bizarre behavior. It doesn't help the United States in any way. Why was he doing that? At the time, Biden's handlers denied there was anything wrong with this. They just said Shokin was corrupt, and somehow the world was benefiting by Shokin getting fired. They didn't explain how he'd benefit from that. Of course, Joe Biden didn't do it for his son. He didn't know anything about Burisma. He didn't know what Hunter Biden was up to. No clue. Then last October, we showed you a photograph of Joe and Hunter Biden golfing with a board member at Burisma, Hunter Biden's business partner, a man called Devin Archer. The Biden campaign never explained that photograph. Our media, of course, never really followed up. Instead, just as they're now rushing to bury the New York Post story, CNN rushed into Joe Biden's defense.
The impeachment inquiry is centered on President Trump's attempts to get political dirt from Ukraine on Vice President Biden and his son Hunter. Mr. Vice President, President Trump has falsely accused your son of doing something wrong while serving on a company board in Ukraine. I want to point out there's no evidence of wrongdoing by either one of you.
A few months later, we got some sense why Anderson Cooper was so careful in the interview you just saw. In December, a voter in Iowa tried to ask Joe Biden about Burisma and his fitness for office. Joe Biden lost control of himself. He called the man fat and then challenged him to a push-up contest.
A damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. And you want to check my shape on it? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take a few. You said I set up my son to work in an oil company. Isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack. Look, here's the deal.
Here's the deal. What is the deal, actually? That's a question every American, no matter what your political views, has a right to an answer.
So right after this report, and right after the data started leaking out into the press, so to speak, you're not going to see it on the mainstream media at all. It's in all the alternative media. The social media started deleting any data about Hunter Biden. Any words that anybody says about Hunter Biden is being deleted off of Google, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and all kinds of different chat rooms, and you name it. It's being censored like you would not believe. As a matter of fact, it's being censored to the point that people are having their accounts locked and banned for mentioning the data about Hunter Biden. Not being rude, but just saying this is what happened and here's the proof. So social media is banning anyone who mentions a story. You go on Twitter and you mention the story, your account's closed, locked, and you're banned. Permanent. Well, let me tell you something. The House and the Senate are demanding two things. One, the criminal investigation is to be opened on Biden and his son. And we'll see, if he gets elected, for a fact it'll disappear. But as it sits right now, the Department of Justice will be opening criminal investigations on both of them. Because what has been proven to have been done by both of them is highly illegal and smacks of treason. And the second thing is the GOP's Twitter account has been locked and banned because they mentioned a link to an article on this. So as of next week, the heads of Google or Alphabet Company, which owns Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they're being ordered to appear before Senate subcommittee. And if they have to issue subpoenas, they will. But these guys are no longer going to be allowed to get away with whatever they want. Now, the chairman of the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, has come out, and he just released the other day, just released a statement. Now, see, the social media has been using this Section 230 of the Communications Act to pretend that they are invulnerable to any repercussions from anything they do on their website, such as banning or shadow banning or any censorship. They're claiming, this is Facebook and Twitter and the rest, they're all claiming that they have invulnerability, nobody can touch them, they can do whatever they want. So this guy come out, the chairman, has come out and said, throughout my tenure at the Federal Communications Commission, I have favored regulatory parity, transparency, and free expression. Social media companies have a First Amendment right to free speech, but they do not have a First Amendment right to a special immunity denied to other media outlets, such as newspapers and broadcasters. So what that means is if somebody does something libel or slanderous in a newspaper, I can sue them. But if Facebook does it, well, I can't do anything, according to them. It's now being changed. They are, you know, you give them enough rope, they're going to hang themselves, and they're doing it. They're actually interfering with the election cycle by banning all communication, and they're monitoring what people are saying and what people are posting, and they're deleting them. There are whole divisions on Facebook that have been banned. Thousands of accounts have been deleted and removed. Finally, a mainstream media reporter made the mistake of confronting Biden the other day about this. And I think he said, I don't have the clip, but I think he said something like, what about this Hunter thing, this thing with your son, Hunter, and the pictures and the laptop and blah, blah, blah. And Biden goes, oh, it's just a smear campaign. It's a smear campaign. It's a lie. It's a lie. By the way, Pompeo came out and says he has now possession of all Hillary's emails, all of them. Not saying where he got them, but he has all of them. And Trump has come out and authorized a full release, full unredacted release of all the data from Russiagate. In other words, from the hoax that the communists were pulling in trying to impeach him. So we'll see what comes from all of that stuff. Now, you know, the election is like right away. You know, what is it? Under 2 weeks? No, 2 weeks maybe? Yeah, something like that. But they're already voting. People are voting. Mail-in ballots and early voting and all of this crap. Do you know, on a daily basis, there is so much fraud about this voting. It's astounding. A mayoral candidate. Now, of course, he's a black Muslim. Zul Mirza Muhammad. He's arrested and he's charged with 100 counts of voter fraud. I have the links there, and you can look at them. You'll understand them and see them yourself. New Jersey mail carrier was arrested for throwing away election ballots. Over 2,000 ballots in L.A. County. Now, this could be just written off to incompetence, but there's no president on the ballot, so you can't vote for president. I have a website, I think I put it up last week, that lists all voter fraud, all incompetence, all problems with mail-in voting in the United States. So you go back to last week's show notes, and I think it was last week, you can see it. The problem we have in this election, more so than any other election, we have what's known as the Trump Derangement Syndrome, the TDS. This is real. This isn't some word made up. It's real. And the problem also is that we have these elites in the United States, in the media, in the Democrat Party, even in the Republican Party. And these elites are scared senseless. They are at the point now where they're literally going insane. There is this guy named Keith Olbermann. He's always been an asshat. I've listened to him for years on and off by accident, never on purpose. He is the rudest, most antagonistic. You know, if I met him in a bar and he used more than two words to me, I'd probably knock his block off. Let's just put it that way. That's the kind of guy he is. And he's decided to address us conservative voters and teach us a lesson.
By understanding what might be a more awful truth still standing behind this demonic president. Our best case scenario, our brightest outcome on election day is a landslide, so thorough and unequivocal that even Trump's enablers, the Republican Party, political whores, every one of them, will not go out onto the limb with him and try to overturn his election defeat in the courts or on the streets or with the military. It must be a win so overwhelming that they and these maggots who believe in fascism, the kind that Donald Trump has already brought to this country, scurry back into their holes, disbelieving and shocked, but, like him, ultimately interested only in one thing, saving their own asses. Our best case scenario is a defeated Trump having no alternative but to concede defeat. And yet, you know in your heart what would follow even that decisive and blessed moment. If Trump actually accepts losing, he will not even pause for breath before he immediately announces that he is seeking the presidency in 2024. And therein lies the real terror of this time of the madman. What he revealed about America, and to the unprincipled scum who have been for decades merely pretending they are not racist, they are not homophobic, they are not anti-Semitic, they are not anti-democracy, they are not obsessed with violence and death, the shy haters. What he revealed is they will not go away just because Trump concedes an election. They have been authenticated by him. They have been told that their failures are somebody else's fault. They have been reassured that their worthlessness is the result of enemy A or enemy B or enemy C. They have been given 5 years in the sunlight and they are a blight that will be with us for generations. There can be no mistaking what is ahead of us in this best of possible scenarios, a period in which a Trump-led minority will continue to terrorize this country. And Trump, whose only barely human delight comes from the applause of the morons in the crowd, will seek that pleasure again and endlessly until the day he dies. We unleashed this terrorism via the activating mechanism of reality television. Trump unleashed his terrorists via the activating mechanism of encouraging them to hate. Trump can be and must be expunged. The hate he has triggered, the Pandora's box he has opened, they will not be so easily destroyed. Let us brace ourselves. The task is twofold. The terrorist Trump must be defeated, must be destroyed, must be devoured at the ballot box. And then he and his enablers and his supporters and his collaborators and the Mike Lees and the William Barrs and the Sean Hannitys and the Mike Pences and the Rudy Giulianis and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society while we try to rebuild it. And to rebuild the world Trump has nearly destroyed by turning it over to a virus. Remember it. Even as we dream of a return to reality and safety and the country for which our forefathers died, that the fight is not just to win an election, but to win it by enough to chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage, and then try to clean up what they left. Remember it, even though to remember it means remembering that the fight does not end November 3rd, but in many ways will only begin that day.
And of course, his bosses aren't going to say anything to him. They say, you know, that's not, this is civil. Of course, we're the ones that aren't civil, right? We're always told we have no civility, but then they pull this kind of crap. He is scum. There's no question about it. Now, I'll end this section on a good point. The other day, in Manhattan, right in front of the Trump Tower, you know, where the communists painted Black Lives Matter on the road, there was a little march, a group of supporters of President Trump. While they were walking down the street, unraveled the largest Trump banner ever made. It was 75 feet long and 50 feet wide. It was astounding, and I have a video of that. It literally covers the whole both lanes. It covers everything but both sides of the street, except for one little lane where cars can come and go. It was astounding. It was so large, it actually scared the protesters. And you can see it. I'll have the link up there. You can see it yourself. Now, I want to talk to you about something called the Dunning-Kruger effect. I played this about 3 years ago. and a lot of you will remember it, and unfortunately, most of you have never heard of it, but you have heard of this. Have you ever met anybody who actually says, I can run faster than anybody else. I just don't want to. And they actually can't run at all. Or somebody who says, yeah, well, I can fix your car. Don't worry about it. I'll fix your car. And they'd never worked on a car in their life. Or somebody who says, you know what? Now, if you've ever watched American Idol, American Idol is where a bunch of people in a row, you know, one at a time, go before the judges and they sing. And this is when they're weeding out the bad from the good. And there are people, I have seen this. In fact, they have whole shows on this. People who think that they're actually contenders in singing and can't even hold a note. They can't even hold a note. Or people who think they're going to be politicians and they have no clue what to say or how to say it when they are given a stage and a microphone. This is part of the Dunning-Kruger effect. And we're all guilty of it until you become aware. I was guilty of it. I was conned by a friend of mine into doing a Catholic rock mass when I was in the 20s. When I was in my 20s, not in the 20s. And I had no idea what the hell I was getting myself in for. And made myself looking like a laughingstock. But I thought I could do it. This will explain this phenomenon.
Are you as good at things as you think you are? How good are you at managing money? What about reading people's emotions? How healthy are you compared to other people you know? Are you better than average at grammar? Knowing how competent we are and how our skills stack up against other people's is more than a self-esteem boost. It helps us figure out when we can forge ahead on our own decisions and instincts, and when we need instead to seek out advice. But psychological research suggests that we're not very good at evaluating ourselves accurately. In fact, we frequently overestimate our own abilities. Researchers have a name for this phenomenon, the Dunning-Kruger effect. This effect explains why more than 100 studies have shown that people display illusory superiority. We judge ourselves as better than others to a degree that violates the laws of math. 88% of American drivers describe themselves as having above-average driving skills. These aren't isolated findings. On average, people tend to rate themselves better than most in disciplines ranging from health, leadership skills, ethics, and beyond. What's particularly interesting is that those with the least ability are often the most likely to overrate their skills to the greatest extent. People measurably poor at logical reasoning, grammar, financial knowledge, math, emotional intelligence, running medical lab tests, and chess all tend to rate their expertise almost as favorably as actual experts do. So who's most vulnerable to this delusion? Sadly, all of us, because we all have pockets of incompetence we don't recognize. But why? When psychologists Dunning and Kruger first described the effect in 1999, they argued that people lacking knowledge and skill in particular areas suffer a double curse. First, they make mistakes and reach poor decisions. But second, those same knowledge gaps also prevent them from catching their errors. In other words, poor performers lack the very expertise needed to recognize how badly they're doing. For example, when the researchers studied participants in a college debate tournament, the bottom 25% of teams in preliminary rounds lost nearly 4 out of every 5 matches, but they thought they were winning almost 60%. Without a strong grasp of the rules of debate, the students simply couldn't recognize when or how often their arguments broke down. The Dunning-Kruger effect isn't a question of ego blinding us to our weaknesses. People usually do admit their deficits once they can spot them. In one study, students who had initially done badly on a logic quiz and then took a mini course on logic were quite willing to label their original performances as awful. That may be why people with a moderate amount of experience or expertise often have less confidence in their abilities. They know enough to know that there's a lot they don't know. Meanwhile, experts tend to be aware of just how knowledgeable they are, but they often make a different mistake. They assume that everyone else is knowledgeable too. The result is that people, whether they're inept or highly skilled, are often caught in a bubble of inaccurate self-perception. When they're unskilled, they can't see their own faults. when they're exceptionally competent, they don't perceive how unusual their abilities are. So if the Dunning-Kruger effect is invisible to those experiencing it, what can you do to find out how good you actually are at various things? First, ask for feedback from other people and consider it, even if it's hard to hear. Second, and more important, keep learning. The more knowledgeable we become, the less likely we are to have invisible holes in our competence. Perhaps it all boils down to that old proverb. When arguing with a fool, first make sure the other person isn't doing the same thing.
Or as my grandfather used to say, a skunk can't smell himself. I was doing some research on the phenomenon that occurs with people who are avid Democrats. Okay, this is, you got to understand this. I'm not doing it from a political viewpoint. I'm doing it from a psychological viewpoint. So I'm thinking now, why do these people, and there's not all of them, but the majority of them, actually feel out of no basis of reality, truth, or facts that Joe Biden is better than Trump? So I'm trying to figure this out. And the fact is, they literally don't care about facts or anything else because they feel that they're more intelligent than I am so that they can evaluate better than I do and their evaluation is right. Hence the Dunning-Kruger effect. They think they're right. They think they're smarter than I am. And I'm just using me as a metaphor. They think they're smarter than I am or smarter than conservatives or smarter than Republicans are. And they know better than anybody else does that we need to have somebody as stupid and criminal as Joseph Biden in the White House. It's, to me, it's logical in a psychotic sort of way. So this Dunning-Kruger effect has more ramifications to it than just the one that the gentleman talked about competency. And that's a sad state of affairs as it is anyway. We are, the America is strife with incompetence. It is handicapped like you wouldn't believe. That's why the Indians that come in and the Chinese that come in to the United States legally and go to our schools far surpass academically all of the Americans that go there. Not all of them. I'm sure there's, you know, 1 or 2% that actually can keep up with them. But in America, mainly because of the destruction by unions and the destruction by communists academically, and I've talked about that today, morally, and I've talked about that also, and spiritually, it's causing the level of competence and the acceptance of incompetence to become greater and greater. I will refer you back to the movie Idiocracy. And if any of you are out there who have never seen the movie Idiocracy, you need to see it. It's a funny comedy. It's well done. And it's an extrapolation on what's happening in academia today in the United States. So what we have is a society that unfortunately thinks its members are more than they really are. And again, we go back to what my grandpa said, a skunk can't smell himself. So that's the thing. You know, we had a guy come in here yesterday, had breath bad enough to knock a buzzard off a crap wagon. And I mentioned that. I said, you got bad breath, man. You got something wrong with your teeth. Because when people come in here, see, they come in, they think they're here to buy something. They think they're here to buy oregano oil or CBD or something like that. And I tell them, no, you're not in here for that. You're here to get help. I have a whole basket full of professional business cards to chiropractors and dentists and podiatrists and naturopathic doctors and real estate agents also that understand the viewpoint of a survivalist and that we need help. So they come in and I give them whatever card that they need. Yeah, so I have a dentist, right? I told this guy, I said, your breath really smells bad. Did you have an infection or something? He goes, no. He said, I work in an office. Nobody ever told me my breath smells bad. That's one of the problems that people are afraid because they might hurt someone's feelings. Instead, they will allow his gums to rot in his mouth instead of saying, dude, your breath smells really bad. Why don't you go get a dentist and look at it? So I said, let me see. I don't hesitate. I said, open your mouth. Let me see. Take a look. And yeah, he had some teeth that were rotting in the back. And he goes, I rinse my mouth out and I use floss. And I said, do you brush your teeth? He goes, yeah, every day or so. So I gave him instructions on how to take care of his mouth, and I gave him some, or I sold him some toothpaste. But this is the thing. People have these problems, and it could be a physical problem like that. It could be a mental problem. It could be the guy that talks so loud like this, like when you go to a restaurant and you're sitting at your table and you're talking to somebody and the whole damn restaurant can hear you talking. Well, that happened to my son this morning. And somebody walked by and said, you know, you're really loud inside of here. Nobody ever told me that. Okay, well, somebody just did. And that's the problem we have. And this is another variation of the Dunning-Kruger effect. People have these impediments. They have these problems. They have these incompetences that they don't know about. And one of them, by the way, is communication, which I wanted to talk about today, but it ain't going to happen. So next week, I'm going to be talking to you about how to communicate properly and why. Meanwhile, I hope I gave you some information. I know I gave you some information. I hope you can glean some help out of it. You know, I've said this before as well. Never discount communications from anywhere. I don't care where. There's always a particle of effective truth in it somewhere, somewhen, and you will never know. You're not going to know when the important thing that can change your life will pop up. I've talked to 5-year-old kids, and we were talking about cooking. A little girl wanted to be a cook. She wanted to know about cooking. This is years ago. I was a chef at a restaurant. And this girl had come in the back, and she was the daughter of the owner. And she wanted to see how... she was standing in there. She was standing in the where the range was and where the stoves were. And she was watching me cook, making stuff. You know, I don't know what I was making at the time. And I said, you're learning how to cook? And she goes, oh, I know how to cook. I just want to make sure that I know what not to do. And I looked at her. I said, what not to do? She goes, yeah, there's things that people do that my mommy yells at them for. And I want to make sure that I don't do them. And also, she was talking about returned dinners. Somebody would send their dinner back because it wasn't done right. Or to specification. And she said, I want to make sure that no dinner I ever cook will ever be sent back. That was pretty much an eye-opener for me. I mean, out of the mouths of babes, right? So I started paying a lot more attention to what I was doing. And within a week, the boss came back and said, you know, you haven't had one complaint. Not one complaint. Knock on wood. That was great. So you don't know where that particle of data is going to come from. It could come from your smart-ass brother. It could come from the dimwit that sits next to you at work. It could come from overhearing a conversation on a bus. It could come from a magazine that just accidentally opens up to a certain page. You never know where it's going to come from. Never stop learning. All right. Go to SE1.us, S as in Sam, E as in Edward, the numeral 1.us. That's our website for Survival Enterprises. You'll see all of our products that we have there right now. We only take checks when you're mailing in. When you call us on the phone, we can take a check over the phone. In the store here, we can only take cash. I'm looking at, by the way, putting an ATM machine in here. If any of you know anything about ATM machines, I don't mean, hey, I've used one. I mean, servicing them, leasing them, putting them in a store, I don't know. But I was told, put an ATM in. Then if somebody wants to use a card, they just walk over to the ATM, blah, blah, blah. And I can give them a discount. So anyone knows anything about ATM machines and the functionality of it and how to put it in a store, give us a call. And you can call us at 800-753-1981. Now, this is not the chat line. This is not where you call to talk to my wife for a half an hour about baking pumpkin cookies. This is the order line. Or if you do want to chat, you can call the 800 number and say, hey, why don't you call me right back? And we will, because our outgoing calls are all free. Or you can call the direct line, which is 310-295-9686. That's 310-295-9686. We'll be more than happy to chat with you and answer any of your questions. If you know of anything that's happening, any of you out there, if you know of anything that's going on, you can call and talk to one of us at the same time. If you have newsworthy items, you can either call and tell us or email me, kw@armchairsurvivalist.com. The email address is at the bottom of any of the pages, armchairsurvivalist.com. All right. Keep your nose in the air and ear to the ground and realize what that psychotic Olbermann said. It's just starting. Be aware. I was just informed also that all protest actions in the United States have ceased or shut down to like 1% of, you know, there'll be 20 people in the middle of the street chanting something. Protests and looting and rioting has ceased. That usually means they're gearing up for a final front. Be aware and be ready. I'll see you next time.